The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Sophie Thompson as Dinny Cheryl, Dorothy Tutin as Lady Mont, Paul Dameron as Sir Lawrence, and Philip Sully as Wilfred Desert. Episode 21.
I am a renegade. I took conversion at the Pistol's Point. And you can let everybody know. This is foolish, isn't it? We're certain to be seen.
And what if we are? Oh, Wilfred, I'm so glad you suggested we came joyriding.
There was very little chance of Dinny and Wilfred not going to the Derby. Their car was involved almost at once in a stream of vehicles forming a swift-running river that flowed in only one direction.
Iliad. Looks American.
It's no good, Wilfred. All horses look beautiful to me, and all just as good as one another. I'll back the horse you fancy, Wilfred.
I like that one, Glennon.
Oh, yes, he's nice.
Right, stand here. I'll lay my egg and come back.
This is happiness. The moments when one is free of lovesickness. Just to be with him. Like last night, suddenly seeing him near the gate. Walking and walking.
We can't see each other home all night, darling. So one kiss. And yet, one kiss. And yet.
To see things through alone. That's what he wanted.
Oh,
Wilfred, I'm glad I persuaded you against that. This is happiness, being together. Nothing can or shall divide me from you. Unless you stop loving. You won't, will you? Oh, don't.
How do you do, Miss Cheryl? We met at the Forth statue on your sister's wedding, remember?
Oh, yes, Mr. Muscombe.
Any news of your sister?
Yes, we heard from Egypt.
Ah.
It must have been terribly hot on the Red Sea.
Have you backed anything?
We thought of Blenheim.
Nice horse.
Hmm.
I'll give you two tips, Miss Cheryl. Look for one or both of two things in a horse. Leverage behind and personality, not looks. Personality.
Personality? Hmm. Do you mean putting his head up and looking over the tops of people into the distance?
By Jove, I should like you as a pupil. That's just... Excuse me, eh?
Oh, but Mr.
Well, you've got a tenner on. Let's go to the stand and see the race.
Read the fight!
18 to 1, Glennon!
Lady Parsby wins! Splendid!
Now draw your money. We'll go to the car and be off.
What do we do?
Drive to Richmond Park.
Oh, yes, and sit in the bracken.
Listen to the cuckoos.
A sunny, whispering afternoon.
And a good dinner at an expensive Kensington restaurant.
Mr. Desert's apostasy. Our challenge taken up. A confession.
Compson Grice's letter is a complete avowal, Dinny.
Yes.
And he read the quote that follows.
Oh, yes, I've read it.
An editorial challenge. Stanzas from Sir Alfred Lyle.
Why? Am I bidding for glory's roll? I shall be murdered and clean forgot. Is it a bargain to save my soul? God, whom I trust in, bargains not. Yet for the honour of English race, may I not live or endure disgrace?
Sir Alfred Lyle, not at his best. There are times when one wonders if newspaper editors are men and brothers, and times like this when one's certain they're not.
It's disgusting to print that just underneath.
Yes, the fat's in the fire, as old Forsyth would have said. Still, I was talking to a man last night who thought that nowadays nothing makes an indelible mark. Cheating at cards, boning necklaces. You go abroad for 2 years and it's all forgotten. As for sex abnormality, according to him, it's no longer abnormal. So we must cheer up.
What I resent is that any worm will have the power to say what he pleases.
The greater the worm, the greater the power.
Uncle, is there any way in which Wilfred can show publicly that he's not a coward?
He did well in the war.
Who remembers the war?
Perhaps we could throw a bomb at his car in Piccadilly, so that he could look at it over the side and light a cigarette.
I saw Mr. Muscombe yesterday.
Jack takes the view that you're being victimized.
Oh, why can't people leave one alone?
Attractive nymphs are never left alone. Jack's a misogynist.
I suppose one's troubles are funny.
Secured by the confession in Compson Grice's letter, the Daily Phase made the most of its opportunity. Jack Muscombe decided the time had come for the matter to be brought up in committee meeting at the club to which he and Wilfred belonged.
Gentlemen, the motion is that the Honourable Wilfred Desert be requested, under Rule 23, to resign his membership of Burton's Club because of conduct unbecoming to a member. Mr. Muscombe?
Thank you. You've all had copies of Desert's poem, The Leopard, and of the Daily Phase. There is no doubt about the thing. Desert has publicly owned to having ratted from his religion at the Pistol's Point, and I say he's no longer fit to be a member of this club. Burton's was founded in memory of a very great traveller who'd have dared hell itself. We don't want people here who don't act up to English traditions and make a song about it into the bargain.
It's a deuced fine poem, all the same.
Oughtn't he to have been asked to attend?
Why? He can't say more than is said in that poem, or in that letter of his publisher's.
I don't like paying attention to the Daily Phase.
No, we can't help him having chosen that particular rag.
Very distasteful, diving into matters of conscience. Are we all prepared to say we wouldn't have done the same?
The fellow's name suits him. We don't want rats at Burton's.
As a matter of fact, I think it's rather fine to have made an open confession.
Theatrical.
If this were one of the service clubs, they wouldn't think twice about it.
But it is not.
I don't know if you can judge poets like other people.
In matters of ordinary conduct, why not?
My young people scoff. They say, what does it matter what he did? They talk about hypocrisy, laugh at Lyell's poem, and say it's good for the Empire to have some wind let out of it.
Exactly. That's the modern jargon. All standards gone by the board. Are we going to stand for that?
Well, all I can say is I trust the story has not got about in Afghanistan. I'm going there next month.
Why not?
Merely because it will add to the contempt with which I can be regarded anyway.
Quite.
Yes, exactly.
I don't like condemning a man unheard.
What about that, Squire? I think that Mr. Desert should be asked to give us his reasons for publishing that poem.
Hear, hear.
Anyone against that?
I don't see the use of it. He ratted and he's confessed it.
Anybody else? Then the secretary will ask him to see us and explain. There's no other business, gentlemen.
Well, what did Wilfred expect? Really, the stupidity of the whole thing. If he'd only kept quiet and not indulged his conscience and his pride, the matter would have just blown over.
Well, I think his public avowal showed honesty and courage.
Oh, it was certainly courageous.
Well, I think it was unfair to Dinny and wasn't really necessary as far as Wilfred himself was concerned. But, of course, he was always like that.
Why is Jack Muscombe so bitter?
Some dogs attack each other at sight. Others come to it more meditatively. I should say Dinny is the bone.
Jack Muscombe and Dinny?
Oh, subconsciously, my dear.
I doubt if Wilfred will go before the committee.
Of course he won't, Michael. But then what will happen?
Almost certainly he'll be expelled under rule, whatever it is.
Well, he won't care. What's a club, more or less?
No, but at present the thing is in flux. Expulsion from his club will be definite condemnation. It's just what's wanted to make opinion line up against him.
I know what he's feeling. His first instinct was to defy that Arab, and he bitterly regrets that he went back on it. Something he told me, it sounds silly, but knowing Wilfred, one can see it made all the difference.
What's that?
Well, he said he felt sorry for his executioner. Of course, it sounds absurd, but he said the fellow begged him not to make him shoot. He was under a vow to convert the infidel.
There are some things better not to tell the committee.
Wilfred would rather die than be laughed at. No, the simplest thing is for him to resign.
When asked to meet the committee of Burton's Club, Wilfred did indeed answer by resignation. Those who love when the object of their love is in trouble must keep sympathy to themselves and yet show it. Dinny didn't find this easy.
All those Pre-Raphaelites make me feel I've eaten a large box of chocolates all at once.
I'm never sure if I like them. Probably not.
Wilfred never mentioned that of which all literary and official London was talking.
They're undoubtedly clever.
Painstaking. Let's go the Carlton House Terrace way.
Oh, I do so love these steps. They're so wide and elegant.
Muscombe.
What's the matter? Oh.
There was Jack Muscombe, with a blank face, formally and deliberately lifting a tall hat, as if to someone who was not there. And with him was a short, dark man, removing a grey felt covering, in unison.
That I consider the limit.
It was an obvious...
Wilfred, no.
Just a moment. What a coward and cad you are.
What? Come on, Jack.
You heard that, Yule.
Jack, come on.
What?
Come on. All right.
Coward and cad. Coward and cad. Thank God I've told him. That's better. Sorry, Dinny. What's the limit?
But, darling, he's only a member of the jockey club.
He's done his best to get me outed. And he couldn't even refrain from that.
It's I who ought to be angry, not you. It's I who force you to go about with me. Only, you see, I like it so. But, darling, I don't shrink in the wash. What is the use of my being your love if you won't let yourself go with me?
Why should I worry you with what can't be cured?
I exist to be worried by you. Please worry me.
Oh, Dinny, you're an angel.
No, I really have blood in my veins.
I thought publishing The Leopard would free me. But it hasn't. Am I yellow, Dinny? Am I?
If you were yellow, I should not have loved you.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to be brutal, Wilfred. Has doubt of your courage anything to do with your ache? Isn't it just due to the feeling that other people doubt?
I don't know. I only know it's there.
Oh, don't ache, darling. Please don't.
Ah, Dinny. Mr. Telford Yule. My niece, Dinny Cheryl.
Miss Cheryl.
Dinny returned to Mount Street, oppressed by fears.
Yule's been telling me of that encounter. He's not easy in his mind.
Neither am I.
I'm sure Jack didn't mean those words to be heard, Miss Cheryl.
I think he did.
He certainly didn't mean you to hear them.
Then he ought to have. Mr. Dessert would prefer not to be seen with me in public. It's I who make him.
Miss Cheryl, I came to see your uncle because when Jack won't talk about a thing, it's serious.
What can I do, Uncle Lawrence?
Well, my dear, I can't see what anybody can do at the moment. Mr. Yule says that Jack's gone back to Royston. If Jack didn't date so, I shouldn't worry.
What do you mean by date?
There's been no duel fought between Englishmen, as far as I know, for 70 or 80 years.
A duel?
Well, it doesn't want to sound absurd, but Jack is a survival.
I suppose he won't see, on reflection, that he's more to blame than Wilfred.
No, he won't. Oh, believe me, Miss Cheryl, I am deeply sorry about the whole thing.
Oh, it was very nice of you to come, Mr. Yule. Thank you.
You couldn't get Dessert to send him an apology, I suppose?
No. No, Uncle, I couldn't even ask him.
I see.
This isn't a cowardly face I see, my darling. Proud, yes. And willful. Even a bit self-centred. But cowardly, no.
In her room, Dinny looked at Wilfred's photograph. The staff were listening to Rigoletto on the wireless. The twittering of those tarnished melodies floated up to her in all the bravura of an age which knew better than this one how to express the emotions of wayward hearts.
A duel. The idea seems too fantastic. But Wilfred's in just the mood to do anything to show he's not afraid. But an apology, indeed. The very idea is offensive.
Stack here, miss.
Dinny was awakened the next morning with a telephone call.
Mr. Dessert's gone, miss. Can you hear me, miss?
Yes. Has he taken clothes or anything?
No, miss. This morning the dog was whining in his room. I went in and I see he's not been in bed at all.
Did anybody come to see him last night?
No, miss. But a letter came by hand about 9:30. Perhaps it's nothing, but being so sudden... Can you hear me, miss?
Yes, I'll come round. Stack, can you get me a sack? No, better still a car by the time I'm there.
I'll get a car, miss.
I'll be round as quick as I can.
Even in this old growler, I should be in Royston by 9. Something to hit at.
That dandified Muskin shall sneer at me again. A scene of low violence. Quite amusing. So, he thinks I'm sheltering behind a petticoat, does he?
Since the law denies one decent satisfaction, I give you due notice that I shall horsewhip you publicly whenever and wherever I first find you unprotected by the presence of a lady.
A pity he's so much older than me. At least I don't have to stage the scene or start the brawl. All I have to do is deliver myself like a registered letter, so I can't be missed.
Has Mr. Desert a revolver, Stack?
Yes, miss.
Has he taken it?
No. Don't know where you're going, miss, but would you like me to come with you?
I think it'd be better if you made sure he's not taking a boat train.
If I run across Mr. Desert first, where shall I get in touch with you, miss?
I'll call at Royston Post Office for any telegram. I'm going to see Mr. Muscombe. They quarrelled. Is that car outside for me?
Yes, miss.
I'll leave at once, then, Stack.
We're getting near Royston, Governor. Where do you want to go?
Pull up at the inn. I'll breakfast there.
The inn?
Garage or cab? I'll want you to take me back.
All right, Governor.
What do I say to Jack Muscombe when I see him? Please don't mind being called a cad and coward. They're really almost terms of endearment. Why have we stopped?
Just checking a back tyre, miss.
I like open cars. Scent of elderflowers. Oh, why can't I just rest in his arms, drugged and happy, without being afraid that life's going to snatch me away from love? He must never know I've tried to mediate. That'd just wound his pride even further. Wounded pride, the cause of most human trouble.
Yeah, the tyre's all right, miss. We'll go at twice the speed now. Be there in no time.
Waiter.
Yes, sir.
Do you know where the Briery is?
Oh, it's the long low house lying back on the right, sir. But if you want Mr. Muscombe, you've only to stand in the street outside here. He'll be passing on his pony at 10:05. You can set your watch by him going to his stud farm when there's no racing.
Thank you. That'll save me the trouble.
This is Royston, lady.
Stop at the post office, please.
The post office. Right, lady.
Smoking a cigarette, Wilfred took his position at the hotel gate. The sun topped some trees on the far side of the street and shone on his face, and Wilfred moved a pace or two to get the full of it.
The sun. All good in life comes from the sun. The sun to Dinny isn't what it is to me. Am I in a dream? Is Dinny real?
Sure enough, as the waiter had said, coming up the street was a rider, unconcerned, sedate, with a long, easy seat on a small, well-bred animal.
If I can lay him out, I will.
The rider's eyes came round. There was a movement of his chin. He raised a hand to his hat, checked the pony, wheeled it, and cantered back.
Gone for his whip.
What did I tell you, sir? That's Mr. Muscombe.
He seems to have forgotten something.
Oh, he's regular as a rule. They say at the stud he's a Turk for order. Oh, here he comes again. Not lost much time, has he?
Are you ready?
No, there's no telegram, miss. And the Briery is nearly opposite us. But if you want Mr. Muscombe, I saw him pass Ryden just now. He'll be going to his stud farm. That would be through the town and off to the right.
One blow from Muscombe's whip had fallen, and then Wilfred closed. He closed so utterly that the whip was useless, and Muscombe dropped it. Amidst the scrambling concussions of this wild encounter, Wilfred was conscious that they'd become a street show.
Appears like a bit of a mix-up, miss. Now, that's something like a scrap. If you'll stand, you'll just see over all those heads.
Their faces blood-streaked. Wilfred, all strange and wild. Oh, but at least they can't kill each other with fists.
Not a blasted bobby in sight. Go it! Go it! I back the young'un.
Both on the ground. Mount Eagles, old bar.
Keep it in, Mr. Musgrave.
Keep going.
Wilfrid saw Muscombe's bloodstained face change and become rigid. His hands drop and hide in his pockets. Saw him turn away. And suddenly he realized why.
Now, that's a pity.
They've seen me. Oh, God, they've both seen me.
That's a great pity.
Drive her on, please.
Where to, Lay?
Away, just away.
Eh?
Drive on a little, then turn and go back to town.
Right, lady. Neither of them much good with his hands, miss, but a proper spirit.
Fisticuffs in high quarters. Were you there, Dinny?
Yes.
What's that?
Evening Sun. Encounter at Royston between that well-known breeder of bloodstock, Mr. John Muscombe, and the Honourable Wilfrid Desert, second son of Lord Mullion, author of The Leopard. Yeah, it's not likely to improve the plain man's conception of a dignified aristocracy.
Which of them won, Dinny?
Neither. They just stopped.
Did the sight of you stop them?
Yes.
I don't like that. Would have been better if a bobby or a knockout blow...
I didn't want them to see me.
Have you seen him since?
No.
Men are vain.
What are you going to do?
What I always do, Uncle Lawrence. Go back to Condorford. I'll take the morning train.
It was Sunday, and the family were all at church. Dinny sat by an old sundial in front of a bed of delphinium.
What's the matter, Scaramouche? Don't you recognise my son any longer?
Condorford looked the same, and the same people did the same things. Yet all was different.
Dinny! Oh, hello, Jean. First back.
Your mother stayed on for communion, your father's going to count the offertory, and Hubert's gone off to inspect the village cricket pitch. Oh, Dinny, do be careful, or you'll go into a decline or something.
I only want my lunch.
Same here. I'm all for you, you know. Get married at once and go off with him.
There are two parties to every marriage.
Is that paragraph in this morning's paper correct? About a fight at Royston?
Probably not.
I mean, was there one?
Yes.
Who began it?
I did. There's no other woman in the case.
Dinny, you're very changed.
No longer sweet and disinterested.
Well, if you want to play the lovelorn female, Dinny, play it.
Oh, no, don't go, Jean. What are my father and Hubert saying now?
Your father says nothing and looks glum. Hubert either says, something must be done, or it's the limit.
Not that it matters. I'm past all that.
You mean you're not sure what he'll do? But of course he'll do as you want. You're afraid he might run off and leave you. You know, Dinny, if you'd once belonged to him, he couldn't leave you. If I were you, I'd vamp him.
Vamp him? Would you?
What are you going to do, Dinny?
Waiting's something I've grown used to, Jean. Waiting and waiting. Waiting.
Dinny spent the next 3 days trying to hide the fact that she was very unhappy. On the fourth day, panic assailed her.
Vamp him. Give myself. Oh, I just don't know. Was I wrong? Wrong to wait for him to make the first move? Should I have gone straight to him? I'll write to him and tell him that I'm tortured with doubt, that I never meant to interfere, that I never expected him to be there. Oh, I'll go to London. I'll stay with Flora and Michael. I'll go and see him.
I'm sorry, miss. Mr. Desert's out. I don't know when he'll be back.
Is he well, Stack?
Yes, miss.
And Fosh?
Oh, yes, the dog's very well, miss.
Good.
I'll tell him you called, miss.
Yes. Thank you, Stack.
Sure about a whiskey?
No, thanks. Well, old man, judging from the bruises, that must have been a hearty scrap.
Yes, it was.
Well? What do you want to know?
Whether you're in love with Dinny.
Really, Michael?
I know, but things can't go on like this. Damn it, Wilfred, you ought to think of her.
I do.
Well, then, for God's sake, show it. Don't let her eat her heart out like this.
You've never had the occasion to try and prove yourself the opposite of yellow, have you, Michael? Well, don't. You won't find the chance.
But, my dear fellow, that's not Dinny's fault.
Her misfortune.
Well, then...
Oh, damn you, Michael! Go away! No one can interfere in this. It's much too intimate.
Oh, you're quite right. Well, good night, old man. That's a nice dog.
I'm sorry. You meant well, but you can't help. No one can. Good night.
Well, why me? Well, why have I been chosen? Not even a blood relation.
Captain Hubert Cheryl had received a sudden summons to rejoin his regiment in the Sudan. He wished to have something decided about Dinny before he left, so the males of the Cheryl family had met in conclave. It was decided unanimously that Sir Lawrence Mont should be the one to visit Cork Street and speak to Wilfred.
Hubert can't be certain of keeping his temper, and none of the rest of us can visit him for one reason or another.
The point is Wilfred's own feeling. If he remains bitter about himself and marries her, that'll be hell for her. And the fonder she is of him, the worse it'll be.
Yes, if I could make him see that, it might be worthwhile. Why, that's him.
You're going out?
A walk.
Mind if I walk a little way with you?
Not at all, sir.
Any particular direction?
Not really.
Hmm. Nothing's worse than not knowing where you're going.
You're right.
Then why go? Especially if in doing it you take someone with you. Forgive my putting things so crudely, but except for Dinny, would you be caring a hang about all this business? What other ties have you got here?
None. I don't want to discuss things. If you'll forgive me, I'll branch off.
Yeah, just one moment, and then I'll do the branching. Have you realized that a man who has a quarrel with himself is not fit to live with until he's got over it? That's all I wanted to say. But it's a good deal. Think it over.
Good day.
By George, I'm well out of that. What an uncomfortable young man. Well, I said what I had to say. It's all the fault of tradition. But for tradition, would the man really mind being thought yellow? Would the family mind? Is one of the Cheryls a real believing Christian? Not even Hillary, I'd bet my boots. Yet none of them can stomach the chap's recantation. Even though he got the MC or DSO or something.
Sir. You were quite right. I thought I'd let you know. You can tell her family I'm going away.
Be careful. You might do her a great injury.
I shall do her that anyway. Thank you for speaking to me. You've made me see. Goodbye.
Going away. Well, that's that. I just hope I haven't made bad worse.
It's wicked, Lawrence.
How?
What you've done. Now he'll go away. I always knew he'd go away. I've telephoned Dinny. She's on her way over.
Well, until the young man can live on good terms with himself, Em, he isn't fit to live with at all.
The verdict, Millard, is guilty.
What?
Oh, I see. Well, perhaps the family conclave dulled my feelings.
The family conclaves usually do.
Have I put the fat into the fire?
Lawrence, you must tell Dinny exactly what you've done and how he took it. Otherwise, it may be too late. And I shall stay until you've done it.
Well, considering, Em, that you don't know what I said or what he said, that seems superfluous.
No, nothing is when a man's done wrong.
I was charged to go and see him by your family.
You ought to have had more sense. If you treat poets like innkeepers, they blow up.
On the contrary, he thanked me.
Oh, that's worse. Get ready and begin at once when Dinny comes.
Quite. But how the deuce am I to put it to Dinny?
Just put it, and don't invent as you go along. I shall have Dinny's taxi kept at the door. I have no doubt she'll need it.
Uncle Lawrence should never have said that. Quarrelling with himself and not being fit to live with.
Of course he said he'd go away. Oh, if Wilfred once leaves England, it'd be as if I'd never seen him. What am I going to say to him? Is Jean right? Ought I to... He must be in. If I say the wrong thing, it could be the end of everything then and there.
Dinny.
Wilfred. Oh, Foch. Dear Foch. Are you pleased to see me? Wilfred. My God. He hates me. Well, what do you wish me to do?
I don't know. The whole thing's mad. I should have buried myself in Siam by now.
Kiss me.
Dinny.
Would you like me to stay here tonight?
Oh, yes. No. I don't know.
Oh, Wilfred, why take it so hard? It's as if love were nothing to you. Is it nothing?
You'd better read this.
What is it? Oh, from Jack Muscombe.
Muscombe. Yes.
Whenever and wherever I first find you unprotected by the presence of a lady. I see. It was doubly unfortunate that I came to Royston. But Wilfred, I never expected to find you there. I really didn't think I'd even find him.
I know.
What are you doing for dinner?
Stack's got something, I believe.
Would there be enough for me?
Too much, if you feel as I do.
Stack, I'm staying to dinner. I only want a pin's head of food.
Yes, miss.
May I have a wash, Wilfred?
Yes, of course.
What would I do? Does he want me to? Would it help? He looked as if he hated me. And then as if he loved me. Oh, God, what am I to do? I must take hold of myself. Try to relax. Whatever I decide will be wrong. Painful. Perhaps impossible. Oh, I must let it all go. Just let it go.
Excuse me, miss. Mr. Dessert was called out. He told me to say he would write. Dinner will be ready in a minute.
When we first met, Stack, you felt you could trust me. You told me so. You said Mr. Dessert would be a lucky
I
man.
I remember, miss.
Well, your first impression of me was the right one, Stack, not whatever second one you may have formed. I am going now. Mr. Dessert need have no fear of me. Tell him that, please.
Miss, I told you he was very sudden, but this is the most sudden thing I've ever known him do. I'm sorry, miss, but I'm afraid it's a case of cutting your losses. If I can be of service to you, I will.
If he leaves England, I should like to have Foch.
If I know Mr. Dessert, miss, he means to go. I've seen it coming on him ever since he had that letter.
Well, shake hands. And remember what I said. So, that is that. All over. The final break. The river can flow where it likes, and I really don't care. Did he deliberately calculate this way of breaking from me? No. He hasn't enough insight into me to know how perfect it is. How final. Drag after a man. Impossible. That is that. I began to live. And now I'm dead.
no flowers by request.
Midnight. Must be midnight.
Wilfred walked eastward, passed through Covent Garden, desolate and smelling of garbage, came up into Ludgate Hill.
I can't express anything. I wrote her a letter. Can't post it.
Again he walked east.
The city deserted, as if it had been mustard gassed. Empty streets. Everyone mustard gassed.
He was soon in the Whitechapel Road. He walked, trying to tire himself out and stop the whirling of his thoughts.
The night. An unwritten poem. Unwritten.
He moved northwards, towards Chingford.
Gleam and drip of light. A play of an incoherent mind, fluttering in and out of reality.
He went on towards the forest.
A flying machine. Some night flyer to Holland. A practice run.
Thoroughly exhausted, he lay down and pressed his forehead to the ground.
A flying machine. I flew in the war. Low of the rivers. Never want to fly again. Never. The very sound of it makes me sick. Sick. Three cheers for the armistice. Hurrah! And thank God. Shoot and be damned. My first instinct. My English instinct. Shoot and be damned. But he begged. Begged me. Stood there with the pistol and begged me not to make him shoot. I'm under a vow, he said. Under a vow.
Yellow.
A coward. Hand-to-hand combat. And that was the worst. Steel, flesh. The human look in the enemy's eyes.
Jack!
No!
When Wilfred woke, light was just rifting the clear darkness.
Dreams. Unwritten poems. Oh, God.
It was full dawn by the time he reached the road.
Jackals. Silversmiths tap, tap, tapping. Creaking of water wheels. The east, I know. Smells. Camel dung. Coffee roasting. Spices. The souks. The reek of river villages.
Hi.
What?
Hi, anything wrong?
No, nothing.
You appear to be in poor shape all the same. Get in the car and I'll run into the hotel at Chingford. Must get on. 6 o'clock. You've got a proper chill, it seems to me.
Malaria. It's not infectious.
They say there's mosquitoes in the forest.
It's in the system. It'll be like this 2 days. Nothing to be done. Quinine. Orange juice. Shoving the quinine.
Pretty sharp bout, I should say. What's your name?
Hell.
Madam, the enclosed letter addressed to you was found in the pocket of a gentleman who's lying here with a very sharp attack of malaria. I'm posting it on to you, and I'm truly yours, Roger Quill, M.D. Wilfred.
I had to go. If I'd stayed, you and I would have been one. I don't know what I'm going to do. I may finish in the river tonight. Or go abroad. Or come back to you. Whatever I do, forgive. And believe that I have loved you. Wilfred.
Whatever I do, forgive and believe that I have loved you. And he's ill. No more rushing in where angels fear to tread. I'll telephone Stack. May I see the paper, Michael?
Yes, of course, Denny. At South Square, the Daily Phase was among those journals which politicians take lest they should miss reading correctly the temperature of Fleet Street.
Horrible. What is, Aunt Denny?
What you're doing to that egg, kid?
Aunt Dinny.
Yes, Kit.
The Daily Face says Bradman is the best batsman in the world now. Do you think he's better than Hobbs?
Better news than Hobbs.
What is news?
What newspapers are for?
Do they make it up?
Not always.
What news were you reading just now?
Nothing that would interest you.
How do you know?
Kit, don't worry your Aunt Dinny.
Busy, Michael?
No, my dear.
That paper. Why can't they leave him alone?
You see, the Leopard is selling like hot cakes. Dinny, how do things stand now?
Well, I know he's been having malaria, but I don't even know where or how he is.
Would you like me to find out?
If he wants me, he knows where I am.
I'll see Compson Grice. I'm not lucky with Wilfred himself.
Well, Monty, have you seen this in the Face?
Yes, Grice.
Sent it round to dessert.
He's in town, then?
Well, it was half an hour ago.
Have you seen him at all?
Well, not since the book came out.
Satisfied with the sales?
We're in the 41st thousand and going strong.
I suppose you don't know whether Wilfred is returning to the East.
I haven't the least little idea.
He must be pretty sick with the whole thing.
How many poets have ever made £1,000 out of 100 pages of verse?
Small price for a soul, Grice.
It'll be 2,000 before we've done.
I always thought it a mistake to print the Leopard. Since he did it, I've defended it, but it was a fatal thing to do.
This is expiation. And damn good business into the bargain. His name's known to thousands who've never heard of it.
Certainly nothing like persecution to keep a name alive. Grice, will you do something for me?
What's that?
Make an excuse to find out what Wilfred's intentions are.
I've got to write to him anyway. I'll try.
Are you going to the park, Aunt Dinny?
To sail your boat, yes, Kit. With a good breeze, it'll sail a long, long way.
To India, to Africa.
Perhaps even to see your Aunt Claire in Ceylon.
Good. Be quiet, Dandy. He always gets like this when he sees grass. Auntie, he's never really grown up.
And why not go away? I have nearly £300. Then I shan't make a nuisance of myself by not being cheerful. I have no bubble and squeak left. Until I met Wilfred, I never felt alone. Now I am terrifyingly alone.
So, you got my letter.
Thanks.
And what would you like me to do with your royalty checks when they fall due?
Here's the address of my bank. Better pay all checks into it and take their receipt.
You don't look fearfully well. Are you going away again?
Probably.
Contemplate going back to the East?
Perhaps. Well, goodbye, Grice. Oh, thanks for all you've done.
I'm terribly sorry it's hit you so hard.
No matter.
I'm glad to see you, Desert. You can share my tea.
Sorry to butt on you like this, but I'm going back into the blue. I wanted to know which would hurt Dinny least. Just to clear out or to write?
You mean that if you see her, you can't trust yourself?
It's not that exactly. It sounds brutal. But I'm so fed up that I don't feel anything. If I saw her, I might wound her. She's been an angel. I just want to get away from everything and everybody.
I was told you'd been ill. You don't think that accounts for your present feeling? For God's sake, don't make a mistake in your feelings now.
No, I'm used to malaria. You'll laugh. But I feel like bleeding to death inside. I want to get to where nothing and nobody remind me, and Dinny reminds me more than anyone.
I see. Do you think it's fair to Dinny or yourself not to try what seeing her might do?
I tell you, I'd hurt her.
You'll hurt her anyway. Her eggs are all in one basket. I'm not such a fool as to want you to go on with Dinny if your feelings have really changed, but are you sure they have?
My feelings haven't changed. I simply have none. Being a parrier dog has killed them.
Do you realize what you're saying?
Perfectly. I knew I was a parrier from the moment I recanted. And that whether people knew it or not didn't matter. All the same, it has mattered. I'm out of the herd, and I'll stay there. I don't complain. I side against myself.
Then you just want to know how to hurt Dinny least. I can't tell you. I wish I could.
Ironical, isn't it? I was driven to Dinny by my loneliness. I'm driven away from her by it. Thanks for trying to help me.
I wish to God I could.
I'll try what one more walk through the park will do. I may see some writing on the wall. Anyway, you'll know I didn't want to hurt her more than I could help. Goodbye, sir.
Oh, you're back, kid.
Auntie Dinny's gone to lie down. She had to sit on the grass. They say she'll be all right soon. They saw a man who frightened her.
What sort of man? Was he thin and dark in the face?
Yes. Do you know him too?
Why too, kid? Did Aunt Dinny know him?
I think so. She said, oh, and put her hand on her chest. And then she looked after him. And then she sat down on the grass. I love Aunt Dinny. Has she a husband?
No. Now, go up and change. I'll send a message up to Aunt Dinny.
I didn't expect to see her. And I walked away. Brutal. Horrible. But it was final. Final. Hello, Posh.
Hello, boy.
Just taking him for his run, sir.
I'm off early tomorrow morning, Stack. To Siam. I probably shan't be coming back.
Not at all, sir.
No, not at all.
Would you like me to come too, sir?
That's good of you, Stack. But you'll be bored to death.
Excuse me, sir, but you're hardly fit to travel alone at present.
Perhaps not, but I'm going to.
I've been with you a long time, sir.
You have, Stack. And nobody could have been nicer to me. I've made provision in case anything happens to me. You'd prefer to go on here, I expect, keeping the rooms when my father wants them.
I should be sorry to leave here if I can't come with you. Are you sure about that, sir?
It's quite sure, Stan. What about Foch?
I think I ought to tell you, sir, that when Miss Cheryl was here last, she said if you was to go away at any time, she'd be glad to have the dog. He's fond of her, sir.
Take him his run.
Polly's always excited to see you, Adrian.
How's the French tapestry?
I want the dog's tongue to drip. He's looking at a rabbit. Would blue drips be all right?
Grey on that background, then.
I do want Dinny to be married, Adrian. She's 26. All that about being yellow. They could go to Corsica. Con was here today. Nobody knows anything. And Fleur says Dinny just goes for walks with Kit and Dandy and nurses Catherine and sits reading books without turning the page. Con says he can't make two ends meet this year. Claire's wedding and the budget and Jean expecting. You'll be 300 down on the year. We're hard up too. It's lucky Fleur's got so much. Money is such a bore. What do you think?
Well, we're falling between two stools, then. And one fine day we shall reach the floor with a bump.
I should go and be a banshee in the woods. There couldn't be Condiford without Cheryl.
Oh, that dashed well could be. There's a confounded process called evolution. And England is its home.
Polly, you and I will go and live in an almshouse.
Dinny can't be asleep. It's only 9:30. She probably won't sleep at all. I wonder if there's anything she wants.
Michael Mont had returned to the house as the Chancellor was speaking at 9, and Fleur went up to the nurseries to look at her sleeping children.
Is Wilfred worth it? Michael and Dinny think there's a vein of pure gold in him. If there is, it's only 9 carat.
Fleur found it difficult to give high value to one whose mistress she had not become, and who had then fled into the blue.
I suppose my nature is lower than theirs. Michael's likings are so extravagant. And Dinny, I don't really understand. Oh, poor Dinny, lying there silent and unhappy. Perhaps you'd like to talk, take her mind off.
Downstairs from the nursery, Fleur tiptoed to the floor in which was Dinny's room, above her own.
Oh, how horrible. Horrible. No, not for the world can I go in. I know that sound. It's sacred. Nearly 4 years ago, I made that sound. Oh, I don't want to remember that pain. John. John. That was my golden time. And Wilfred's face outside the window. Haunted as it probably is now. And Daddy. Daddy. When I cried, he'd say, "There, there. Let's go and see if there are any raspberries." Oh, my God, no.
Fleur listened a moment, and then carefully did not. One shuts eyes and ears to all that's painful, if one can. Closed lids and cotton wool, and who can blame one?
Michael's an angel. Kit's a duck, and Catherine's a little flower. One day, you'll find a Michael, Dinny, and he'll help to stop that pain.
The next morning, a message was brought to Dinny about 10 o'clock that a man with a dog was waiting to see her.
Stack.
Mr. Dessert sent this note, miss.
Let's sit down, shall we?
I'm going away for good. Foch comes to you with this. He is yours if you care to have him. I'm only fit to be alone. Forgive me if you can. And forget me.
Mr. Dessert says I may have Foch.
Mr. Dessert's gone, miss. Went by the early service to Paris and Marseilles. I've been with him 14 years, miss. It was bound to hit me. He talks of not coming back.
Where has he gone?
Siam.
A long way. The great thing is that he should be happy again.
That's so, miss. I don't know if you'd care to hear about the dog's food. He has a dry biscuit about 9 and a shin of beef or sheep's head cooked with crumbled howl meal between 6 and 7, and nothing else. A good quiet dog he is, perfect gentleman in the house. He'll sleep in your bedroom if you like.
Do you stay where you are, Stack?
Yes, miss.
Is there anything I can do for you?
No, miss.
Well, I think I'll take Foch for a walk and get him used to me.
Yes, miss. I don't let him off the lead except in the parks.
Well, Foch, what shall we do? Nice walk. Come along then, boy.
Well, my dear, that looks a nice dog. Is he yours?
Yes. Uncle Lawrence, will you do something for me?
Surely.
Wilfred has gone. He went this morning. He's not coming back. Would you be so very kind as to let my people know, and Michael and Aunt Em and Uncle Adrian? I don't want ever to have to speak of it. I'm going home this afternoon.
God bless you, my dear. Come here or to Lippinhall whenever you want. We love having you.
Hunters for sale.
That evening at Condiford, after good night had been said, Dinny came down again and went to her father's study.
What's that you're poring over?
Oh, well,
Hunters for sale. Mare, blue roan, 15-1 rising 9, carries Lady Sound, Wind and Limb. Apply owner, Condiford Grange, Oxon.
I don't like Wind and Limb.
No.
Here. You mustn't do that. It took me...
No, Dad. You can't sell the horses. You'd be lost.
But I must, Dinny.
I know. Mother told me. But it isn't necessary. I happen to have quite a lot.
Impossible.
You mustn't refuse me, Dad. Let me do something for Condiford. I've no use for it. And it happens to be just the 300 Mother says you want.
Oh, nonsense, my dear. With that, you could have a good long travel.
I don't want a good long travel. I want to stay at home and help you both.
Well, I should be ashamed to take it. It's my own fault that I've got behind.
Dad, you've never spent anything on yourself. Let me do the worrying and a bit of pinching. In the meantime, you must take the money. Then we shall start fair. To please me, dear.
Oh, Dinny. Oh. That business of yours, my God.
I'm going out for a few minutes now, Dad. Just to wander round. Oh, it's so nice and warm.
It was a still, dry, dark night with swarming stars.
night's a friend. One can get lost in it. No eye to see, no ear to listen. Condorfoot's a friend. It's as if the old house is living just for my eyes. Solid, comforting.
Dinny stood under an elm tree, leaning against its trunk.
I will not think of him. I will not think of him.
Where she stood, the moat had been filled in so long that this great elm tree had grown.
His face forms in the darkness. His eyes, his lips.
Slow and tenacious, the lives of trees, like the life of her family clinging to this spot.
Well, I've had my hour. Can't be helped. Oh, I wonder which is my lucky star.
In episode 21 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogard, Dinny, Sophie Thompson, Wilfred, Philip Sully, Lady Mont, Dorothy Tutin, and Sir Lawrence, Paul Damon. Aubrey Woods played Jack Muscombe, Amanda Redman, Fleur, Gary Bond, Michael, John Moffat, Adrian, and Gerard Green, Sir Conway. Stack was played by Danny Schiller, Jean by Danielle Allen, Compton Grice by John Bull, Telford Yule by Christopher Scott, and Kit by Jodie MacDonald. Other parts were played by Ian Lindsay, Nigel Carrington, Nicholas Gilbrook, and Leonard Fenton. The director was Janet Whitty.